All right, guys, we're studying the book of Galatians. This is like our eighth week in it. You don't have to feel bad if it's your first week with us, because I'm going to catch you up. I'm going to give you kind of a rehash of what the book is about, those kind of things. But I do need a couple favors from you. Number one, guys, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 4. So if you brought your Bible, if you would open it up to Galatians chapter 4, would really, really appreciate it. We're going to start in verse 8. We left off in verse 7 last week. We're going to start in verse 8. We're going to read all the way through verse 20. I'm also going to ask that you would grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, that's totally fine. We have a digital version. Same way you did the offering, you just open up the camera app on your phone, point it at that QR code, and you say, why are you asking me to do this, Pastor? Because we want you to take notes. We believe, again, what we're called to do during this time of the worship service is to study the Bible together. Study entails that I'm taking notes, that I'm listening, that I'm thinking about it. So every week when you come, you leave with a list of questions. I think we have 9 questions this week that you can ask yourself about the text, that you can talk about with the people that came to church with you, with your family or with your small group. These things matter. The more we think and digest the Word of God, the more that we are transformed into the image of Christ, okay? So it's a big deal. So I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we're going to jump in as you get situated. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather here this morning. Holy Spirit, just confess what we just sang, is that we depend on you. Holy Spirit, the Bible is very clear that you are our teacher, that you are our guide. I invite you right now to come and take your place in our pulpit, that you would teach us about Jesus Christ from the inside out, and that we would see him clearly. God, my prayer this morning is that all gathered here would leave knowing the difference between religion and having a personal relationship with you. Huge difference. Help us, lead us, guide us, Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we're going to start in verse 8. Before we get there, I just want to remind you what the book of Galatians is. So the Apostle Paul writes the book of Galatians to churches that are spread throughout the area of Galatia. These are all churches that he started on one of his missionary journeys. So these churches were kind of birthed by him, and that's where they got their start, their founding. But they're now under attack by a group of people called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers, kind of like what it sounds like, is they're trying to convince these Gentile, that's non-Jewish Christians, that in order to really be saved, they actually have to believe in Jesus and keep all of the old Jewish laws and customs, including circumcisions and food laws and festivals. They basically are making them convert to Judaism plus Jesus. And Paul says very early on in the book of Galatians, no, that's not the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and the point that the Apostle Paul is making is that if our relationship with God in any way is based on something we must do, that is not good news, that is terrible news, because we fail all the time. Amen? All right, so this book is all about the grace of God. All right, with that being said, again, I am in Galatians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 8. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, but in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and the worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness in the flesh. You didn't despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have torn your eyes out and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly. He's talking about the Judaizers. They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued. But is it always good to be pursued in a good manner? And not just when I'm with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. It's an interesting section of Scripture, but there's some big things that we learn from it. And I'm going to say some things this morning. Some of you, your entire view of Christianity is going to be wrapped up in what I talk about this morning. Some of you are here this morning, but the truth is you've always kind of held Christianity off at a distance. And I hope to fix some misunderstandings that you've had. But there's three things I want to share with you this morning. And here's the first. I want you to know that religion, I'm going to also refer to that as legalism. That's they're going to be used interchangeably this morning. That religion or legalism is just a different form of idolatry and enslavement. Let me say that again. Religion or legalism is just a different form of idolatry and enslavement. Let's look at verse 8 for a minute. He says, "But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's." Okay? Now, let's think about who Paul's writing to here for a second. Paul is writing to Gentile believers, meaning that they are non-Jewish, meaning that before they converted to Christianity, they were pagans. You see, what do you mean by that? I mean that these people worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars, that they worshiped water and trees and, right? I mean, we know that they worshiped the Greek and the Roman gods. They were probably part of the imperial cult, which basically the imperial cult, they worshiped the emperor. And all throughout Galatia, you would find temples to these little g, these false gods everywhere. And so these were gods of war. These were gods of nature. These were gods of fertility. And so these people that Paul is writing to, they used to go make sacrifices in these other temples. And sometimes those sacrifices would involve some pretty bad behavior. Like for fertility gods, it usually involved prostitution in some form. And so they kept all these festivals and all these special days, and they would celebrate the moon and the stars and the goddess of fertility. And Paul's writing to those people, and he says, in the past you didn't know God. And so in the past you were enslaved to all that other stuff. That's who you were. But then look at verse 9. He says, but now, since you know God, rather, I love this part, rather, you've become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? This is key. Paul says that they were enslaved in their idolatry. And he says, do you want to go back to that? Now, here's my question for you. Is he talking about them returning back to their old religion? No, he is not. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about what they're doing with the laws of Judaism. This is from Paul, who's a Jew. And he's literally saying, do you not understand that religion, legalism, trying to live out the law without your heart being alive for God is the same thing. It's idolatry. To have a list of rules of yes and no, to try to be good enough to earn God's favor. He's like, all of that is idolatry and it's enslavement. That's huge. Think about the gravity of that. That their former way of life, full of false gods and idol worship, licentious and hedonistic living, and Paul says religion is just a modern version of that. Whew. That's heavy. It's no better. It's just a different set of idols, is Paul's point. I want you to write this down for a second. Guys, we have a tendency to settle for the familiar trappings. I'm going to say it again. We have a tendency to settle for the familiar trappings of life rather than pursuing Jesus in faith that He'll provide for us daily. We have a tendency to settle for all the familiar trappings in life rather than having faith in Jesus that He will provide for us daily. You see, what's going on here is really our story too, isn't it? right? We come to know Christ and the joy of salvation, and we're like, man, this is awesome. You mean it's not about what I've done? It's about what Christ has done for me? This is amazing. And we receive the grace of God with all of our heart and with great joy, but then something happens. We start to look around and we start to go, well, wait a second. I need some kind of structure, right? And so we end up turning back to kind of our old ways. We're like, well, I mean, surely there's some things. There's got to be some religious stuff I need to do now. It can't all be about faith. It can't all be about God's grace. Like, oh, I know what I need to do. I need to go to church every time the doors are open. That's what I need to do. And the pastor said I should get in a group, so I'm not going to get in one group. I'm going to get in 15 of them. And the church has leadership committees. I want to be a leader in the church. I'm going to be on every committee I can be on. I'm going to read my Bible every day. In fact, I'm going to be doing 3 different Bible studies all at the same time, because that'll make me more like Christ. I'm only going to listen to Christian music. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to, and we end up with, like, before you know it, that's become who we are. Not the joyous children of God that are saved by grace. You follow me? This is the story of the Israelites, isn't it? I mean, they were enslaved in Egypt to Pharaoh. And God sends a deliverer. And through Moses and the 10 plagues, God convinces Pharaoh to let his people go. They get to the Red Sea, and by a miracle, God parts the waters, and the whole nation of Israel walks across on dry ground. They get to the other side, and God tells Moses, hold out your staff. The entire army of Egypt is swallowed up in a moment. They celebrate. Yes, God, we're free, God. And within moments, experiencing that freedom where God says, I'm your God and you're my people. I'll provide everything you need. But trusting God for that provision made them uncomfortable. And the Bible says they actually longed for the things they had back in Egypt. Can you let that just sink in for a moment? That they longed for the things that they had back in Egypt. And I'm telling you, y'all, I just think this is our story. I know so many, I think, well-meaning Christians that have just become legalists. Everything is about rules. They judge their closeness with God based on how well they did. Well, I missed a day of reading my Bible. I bet God's going to curse me today. Oh, it's going to be a rough one today. I didn't do this, or I didn't do, and it's, man. Paul is saying here in the first few verses of chapter 4 that religion, or legalism as I call it, is just another form of idolatry. Guys, listen to me. Jesus came to fulfill the law because we can't. Like that, he literally came to live the law perfectly, to fulfill it. On the cross, he says it is finished. Because we couldn't do that. And then he chose to die in our place to pay the penalty of our sin so that whosoever believes in him, whoever would put their faith and trust in him, can become a child of God by adoption. We talked about that last week. We're adopted as sons of God. That's all of us. We're full heirs to God. We have full rights and privileges. And listen, and now we're in a relationship. It's not about religion. If you hear anything from me, hear this from me, is the heart of God, why Jesus came, was not to start a religion. Okay? You might write that down. He did not come to start a religion. He did not come to give you a long list of rules. He came to provide a way for you to have a relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, where God is your Father and where you're walking so closely. Your only responsibility is to focus on that relationship. That's it, just to sit in it, because it is just to enjoy the provision of God and the grace of God. And when you sit in that relationship and you constantly think about all that God has done, you do not need a list of rules, because your heart from the inside out just wants to go, thank you, God, I'm living for you. Thank you, God. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, which lives in us, The Spirit of God naturally opposes all the things of the flesh. It just naturally opposes sin. In the Old Testament, talked about the law being written on our hearts. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And it's not about what we do and what we don't do. It's just about remaining in relationship. And if we remain in that relationship, we naturally want to please God. Does that make sense? Guys, anything short of that, anything that's about what we have to do, man, it's just idolatry. It's just us returning to a form of that old way of life. It's in slavery. Religion and legalism, you got to be careful because they're sneaky. They're just deceptively dressed forms of the same old idolatry and enslavement we used to live in before we came to know Jesus. All right? That's the first thing I want to share with you. Second thing I want to share with you is this. The key to breaking free from the slavery of legalism is becoming secure in the fact that God knows you, loves you, and sent Christ for you. The key to breaking free from the slavery of legalism is becoming secure in the fact that God knows you, loves you, and sent Christ for you. Okay? We're going to look at verse 8 and 9 again on the screen. It says this. It says, "But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's." Notice this next verse. "But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again?" I love that phrase. He says, "But now, since you know God," and then it's like he corrects himself. He's like, actually, this is better. Now, I think if Paul had a computer, he might have deleted that first part of that sentence, you know? He might have just backspaced over that whole thing. I'm really glad he didn't, right? Because it speaks to me in a huge way. He's like, "Now that you know God," and then he goes, "Actually, more important than that, now that God knows you," right? Now that God knows you. Timothy Keller, in his commentary on Galatians, says this. He says, "It is our insecurity regarding our acceptance with God which is the reason we make idols." Say that again. It's our insecurity, the fact that we're not secure that God has accepted us. That's why we make idols. That's why we make rules for ourselves. That's why we try to be good enough in God's sight, because we are insecure that God has really accepted us. And here's the key to this. He says, here's why. Because we look at our knowing Him. We look at our knowing God, which wavers all the time, doesn't it? Right? If so, my acceptance with God, again, is based on anything that I do. If it's based on how often I read my Bible, even, and reading your Bible is good, you should do it. But if your acceptance in God's sight is based on anything other than what Christ has done for you, when that wavers, and it does, because we are very inconsistent, amen? When it wavers, you will become insecure about whether or not God is really accepting of you, about whether or not God really loves you, about whether or not you're really His kid. Because your pursuit of God is going to be like Peter's. You're going to have high moments and low moments. And so if anything is based on that, man, you're going to be insecure. But look at what it should be based on. It says, "Instead of His knowing us in Christ." We look at our knowing of Him, which fluctuates, instead of His knowing of us in Christ. We're desperately trying to firm up a positive self-image by using our idols. That's what Paul's doing here. He's asking them some hard questions like, "What are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? What are you trying to prove?" Can I ask that of you this morning? What are you trying to prove to God? Right? What, really? I mean, you guys that are just so worn out by following Christ. I meet Christians all the time that are exhausted. And I'm going, what are you trying to prove? Jesus came because all that other stuff that we try to be acceptable to God, all that other stuff doesn't work. He came because, listen, acceptance in God's eyes is not based on whether or not we are good. That's not the bar. The bar to be accepted by God is not being good. It's being righteous. The bar's so high. It's actually being holy, holy, holy. Perfect, perfect. Like, none of us can do that. That's why Christ came. So why would we return to something, some effort to make ourselves like we could, to make ourselves perfect, because nothing works? Instead, what do? Man, we live in the freedom that Christ has provided for us, right? Here's a shocker for you. Go ahead and write this down for me too. Ready? God knew what he was getting in you. You didn't surprise him, okay? In your mind right now, just think of like your biggest mess up this week, just quickly, okay? I'm not trying to guilt you here, but just think of, man, I really blew it. Maybe it was traffic. Maybe it was with your spouse. Maybe it was with your kids. You just lost it, right? What was your biggest mess up this week? Do you think God was shocked by that? No. God knew exactly what he was getting in you. Listen to the gospel, right? Romans 5:8. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He knew what he was getting in you. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, man, you used to live that way, but listen, now you know God. No, better yet, remember, God knows you. God knew that you were a sinner. He knew that you would still struggle. That is why Christ came, and it is the job of Jesus to finish the work he's begun in you. It is only your only job. So, well, what do I do? There is man's responsibility. Ready? Here's your responsibility. Just remain in relationship. That's it. If we would just focus on remaining in relationship with Jesus. The Bible calls it abiding. That we're going to talk about it in chapter 5. John 15, we did a whole series on it this summer. But just remaining in Christ, remaining in what he's done for you. Constantly remembering, man, Jesus has saved me. I am a child of God. I want to live like a child. And you just do your best. And God will not be shocked when you fail. You are known and loved. Yes, you, who are imperfect and will probably blow it later today. You are known and loved by God. There's nothing you can do or need to do to improve on that. Follow me? Listen. There's no improvement over first class on an airplane. There's not. There's no other section, right? Ain't nobody else getting better meal, better drinks. It's you. It's you. There's nothing you can do to improve on being a child of God. Nothing. There's nothing you can do to improve on how God loves you and how he feels about you. Nothing. It's been done in Jesus. Last thing I'm going to share with you, and I hope this speaks to you. Some of you that have experienced religion, y'all, I didn't get saved till I was 20. So I'll be honest, like I was a youth pastor. I'd never been in a youth group. I became a pastor. I had been in a church, but I don't know that I'd seen it done real well. And so sometimes I'm just like, I don't know. We're just going to worship and teach the Bible. That's what we do. I did it as a youth person. I do it now. Some of you, I had a little taste of this when I was very, very young. Some of you experienced religion. And man, it really put a bad taste in your mouth. And I just want to say to you, I'm so sorry if that's your experience. Because that is not Christianity. Christianity is about relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about, hey, you know, you can't do these things. God's mad at you. God, hey, like it's just not. That's not what it is. So I want to say this third point to you, and I hope you take it in love. I want you to know that religious people often aim to mold others into their own image. But true Christians will step into your world. They'll meet you where you are so that you can be transformed into the image of Christ. Right? Religious people always want you to look like them, okay? But Christians are going to meet you where you are, and they're going to love you, and their goal for your life is that you'd be transformed into the image of Jesus, not into the image of them. Verse 12 through 20 can be a little difficult to understand, because Paul he switches gears and he gets personal. He hasn't been personal, super personal yet in the letter. It's been a lot of talking about God and talking about the gospel. So he switches gears and he's like, hey guys, remember when I came to you, I was sick, okay? So Paul had this physical ailment. If we read the text and we read in other places, it was something to do with his eyes. Scholars have lots of guesses about what that is. Some people think he got malaria because he was near the coast. Other people think this is a result of him seeing Jesus, right? And he's blinded and the scales come off and later his eyes are off. So he's with them. His eyes are not working. He says, at one point, you would have given me your eyes, he says. That's in the text, right? So he was there. He wasn't well. But they were so kind to him, and in that kindness, he still preached the gospel, and they received Christ, right? But now, these Judaizers have come along and said, nope, Paul didn't tell you the whole gospel. Nope, it's not just about grace. You also got to earn it. You got to do all this stuff. They're buying into it, and now they're kind of looking at Paul as an enemy. And so Paul's kind of writing and all that stuff. And so then listen to what he says about what these other guys, these Judaizers wanted. And then listen to his heart. Radical difference. Verse 17. They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue what? Christ? No. Pursue what? Them. Listen to me. Religious people always do this. This is at the heart of legalism. You need to dress like me. You need to talk like me. You need to like the stuff that I like. You need to not do the things that I tell you not to do. You need to look like me. You have to become me, right? And so some people are like, well, your clothes have to be this long. And your music can't involve these instruments. And I mean, you just go down this list. These guys are like, and you must be circumcised. And you have to follow all the Jewish laws and customs. And you have to wash your hands really well before you eat. And they're saying, look like me, look like me, look like me. And if you misread this text, you think Paul says the same thing, but he doesn't. Verse 12, I beg you, brothers and sisters, because as I become as I am, you're like, same thing. He's saying the same thing. No, he's not. Look, for I also became as you were. These other people don't want to become like them. These other people are actually telling them, you're not good enough. God can't love you like that. You've got to do all these other things for God to love you. You've got to jump through all these spiritual hoops, and then you'll be good enough for God. One day you'll be as good as me. That's religion. Man, that is legalism. That one day you'll be as good as me? Are you kidding me? That's not Christianity. So Paul says, listen, I want you to become like me because I became like you. He's saying, like, listen, I lived among you as a Gentile. We ate bacon for breakfast, y'all. Jewish people couldn't eat bacon, by the way. I'm just saying, I think they ate bacon. I don't know if it was invented back then, but ooh, it would have been hard if it was. And I want you to notice why. Here's the difference between Paul and these religious people. Verse 19, my children, I again, suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. That's his one desire, is that Jesus would be formed in them. Literally, that they would take on the shape of Christ. That's what the text would mean in the Greek. They would take on the shape of Christ. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That was his desire. You see the difference? Religious people want you to be like them. Christians want you to be like Christ. Man, just be like Jesus. I talk to a lot of people about the Lord. I talk to people from all different kind of backgrounds. Some of those people have no clue that I'm a pastor. Some of them do. And I tell them all the same thing. Like, listen, the most important thing on earth is that you would have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care where you go to church, right? I say it all the time. Like, I don't care where you... I'm not asking you to be me. You don't have to sit under my teaching. You don't have to do any of that. I'm saying the most important thing you can do is accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have a personal relationship with God. That's the most important thing you can do, okay? So what do we do with this text? I know I got to wrap up. I'll give you three things quick, and then we'll move on. Number one, I want to challenge you to move past religion and into a relationship with God by putting your faith in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. That's a bold statement, but the reason he can say it is he's the only person to live a sinless life. He's the only one that's ever fulfilled the law perfectly, and he's the only one that died in our place. And God accepted his perfect life and his sacrificial death as payment for our sin. And the Bible says whoever believes in him will become a child of God. They'll be adopted into the family of God. It's a big deal. Okay? Second thing I want to challenge you to do is nail down the fact that your relationship with God is based on Jesus' perfection, not your performance. Christians, those that have struggled, will you highlight that point? Will you go like write it on the refrigerator or something, right? Your relationship with God is not based on your performance. It's based on the perfection of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. That's called grace. Nail that down. Man, really, like, oh, you got to be secure in that thought. Third thing, last thing. I challenge you to reflect Christ to others. What are you talking about? I'm talking about not trying to mold people just into your image, but instead just pointing them to the real answer, who is Jesus, right? Just reflect the need of Christ to others. That's what it's about. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray for a few groups. My team upstairs, they're going to turn the lights down just a little bit, not crazy all the way off, because I do need to be able to see a little bit, but we're gonna knock the lights down a little bit, and here's why, because I'm going to ask a question. And I don't want folks looking around like, is anybody else doing this? So that's good. So I'm just going to talk for a moment. And if you don't mind right now, because we are going to pray, would everybody just bow their heads for a moment and close their eyes? So what we've done this morning is we've talked about how to become children of God. We've talked about the difference between religion and actually having a relationship with God. By putting faith in Jesus Christ, who says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Some of you here this morning, the only thing you've ever experienced when it comes to God is religion. And it hurt, and you were burned by it, and you know that, and you feel it. But this morning, you heard that you could actually have a personal relationship with God, and that it's not really about all that other stuff. And if that speaks to your heart this morning, if you're here right now and you say, I would love to have a relationship with God, I would love to become a child of God, would you just raise your hand where you are? Just say, I need that. I want to have a relationship with God. I know that I don't. You've never done that before, but you're like, yeah, man, I just want to do that where I am right now. Can you raise your hand? It's hard for me to see, so if you'll raise them up, I just want to see that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Awesome. Okay. Everybody is bowing their heads, closing their eyes. If you raise your hands, I just want you to look up at me for a second just so we can make eye contact. I just want to see you for a second. See you guys. I see you guys over here. I had some over here, right? Can you guys see me? Okay, awesome. Cool. Okay, you guys can bow your heads again. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I just want to talk to you. Pastor Kevin might be in here. If not, Coach Anderson and Miss Aaron are going to be up here with me, and you can have a conversation with them as well. What we're going to do is pray a prayer that asks Jesus to come into our life and make us children of God. That's what we're going to do right now. So if you raise your hand and said, I want to be a child of God, the way that happens is by putting our faith and trust in Jesus, that he loves us, that he lived that perfect life, he fulfilled the law, and he died in our place. We're just going to have a moment. And church, while we do this, while these folks pray, I'm going to ask you to pray for them by joining us in this prayer. We're all going to pray out loud together. Let's pray. Dear God, I come to you right now, and I ask that you would forgive me. I realize that I have sinned in so many ways, and there is nothing I can do to make myself perfect. And I know that's your standard. But Jesus, I heard today that you came to live the life I couldn't. And that you chose to die in my place. And that if I would call upon you, that I'd become a child of God. So Jesus, I call upon you now. Save me come into my life. Change me. I know it's going to be weird. I've got a lot of new things to learn. But I trust that you'll help me along the way. I'm yours. Amen. 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 That's right.